Hola a todos, aquí estamos de nuevo otra vez para las entrevistas del bichólogo y hoy tengo el enorme placer de presentar a Alberto Pepe. Él es físico, pero y diréis, bueno, ¿qué hace un físico aquí en esta sección para biólogos? Pero él es el creador de una herramienta que se llama Authorea. Creo que es una herramienta muy interesante que va muy enfocada a publicar o a facilitar todo el proceso de publicación para artículos científicos o para una investigación en general. Así que creo que puede ser muy útiles a todos y por eso le he invitado hoy a estar aquí con nosotros. Hello, Alberto. Really nice to see you.
Hola.
Good Spanish. I know you speak a little bit of Spanish,
Sam Spanish. Sam Spanish.
but it's better just for it's easier for both of us just to make this interview in English. So my readers have the chance to see that it's very important just to learn this language, that is a science language. Well, I have said to them that you are the co-founder of Authorea. Tell us about this piece of software, Authorea, and what is its purpose?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, as you said, I'm a physicist. My background is in astrophysics and information science. I did a lot of data science as well. And I created the platform. I created Authorea because I needed it. So I was a researcher myself. After doing a PhD and a postdoc, I was writing a lot of research papers. And I realized that I was struggling writing research papers. The entire process of writing papers and then publishing them was very slow, very inefficient. It was built on top of very obsolete tools. So I decided to try and imagine what the future of scientific communication could look like. And I said, well, if we had to like build a new platform that would allow for the paper of the future, the scholarly article of the future to exist, what would it look like? And that's pretty much the beginning of Authorea. So I created it out of personal frustration with my own work, with my own way of doing research. So I know that you have a few questions, but just in a nutshell, Authorea is a collaborative editor, mostly for researchers, scientists, students, anybody who's writing an article that is either going to be published or maybe it's an article for a class. So any document, it could be like 1 page, 2 page long, it could be very long, it could be a dissertation, anything that has citations and references, for example, so it cites external work, or anything that includes mathematical equations, tables, and most importantly, also data and source code. In our new way of imagining the article of the future, like science, the science of the future, we think that data and code are going to be fundamental elements that are going to be included, that are going to be part of the paper of the future.
I think it's a great idea, very powerful, but and it's great that it just was born because the one of your personal needs, I think, is a nice way to solve your own problems and to help the rest of the researchers. Well, you have said that it's a collaborative platform, but tell us about the main features that we can find in Authorea.
So the most the platform itself is an editor. So it's a word processor the same way that you think Word or Google Docs. So it's an online environment where you can write text. And of course, in addition to a simple text, you can also make the text bold, you can make it italic, you can make lists, you can make quotes. So it allows you to write a very to allow it allows you to write, and also it allows a minimal set of features for formatting. And we try and restrict the features to just the minimal set of features that are just what you need to write a scientific article. We don't allow you right now, for example, to like really change your font size or change your font type, because that sort of stuff is actually not found in scholarly article. So we give a very restrictive set of tools and features. If you've seen or used a blogging platform called Medium, I don't know if you've seen it before, but the idea is that they also try and restrict the amount of stuff that you can do. And the reason we do that, we put these restrictions because then we can actually allow the authors, the users, to focus on the content and don't worry too much about the format. Because the formatting, as I'll tell you in a second, actually happens afterwards. So very basically, it's a word processor. It's collaborative so that you can have multiple people writing at the same time, the same way that Google Docs works. So how is it different from Google Docs then? The difference really comes in three or four features and characteristics of the platform that are different from anything else. The first one is a citation tool. So if you're looking, for example, for a certain paper by a friend of yours or a colleague of yours or an important biologist, while you're writing, you can just click a citation button and that pulls up a search bar and you can type in a keyword, an author name, anything you like. And we search the web. So we search every single paper that is available out there and you're able to just click on it or pick a couple of different ones, select them, and then we create the citation for you. The citation and the references. So you don't have to like go ahead and like create your own bibliography, assemble all the references, format them according to given style. We do all of that for you. And that's a very easy way to access citations from, you know, from the web. If you also use a citation manager, things like EndNote, Mendeley, Zotero, we also integrate with all those tools so that we really make it easy for you to handle and find citations and references. So that's the first big feature that we offer. The second one is around more technical content like mathematical equations. There's some people in physics, for example, that use LaTeX, which is a typesetting format, which is especially good for mathematical notation. So if you want to insert snippets of LaTeX, you can also do so. And we have a very powerful engine that, again, renders everything to the web. So there's not compilation necessary. So everything becomes a web page. Every article is a web page. So tables, mathematical equations. Then the other important thing that we have is the data hosting idea. So every single article that you start in Authoria is a Git repository. Now, Git is a version control system that is used by developers, mostly software developers, to work together on code. And even though it was really written for developers, for source code, we actually use it to version control documents. So in other words, it's like something like track changes, what Word has, but really built natively inside the platform. This allows people to really see what's changed on a document, you know, from the last time you logged in. So you can really, really easily see, you know, who's working on what, and what's changed in the document while you were not on it. But this idea of like using Git also allows people to put more than just text and images into a document. So you can add things like data set, you know, if you have a data set that it relates to your figure, you can add your data. And so your article becomes an online document that, first of all, looks like a nice article. It's on the web. It's a web page. You can link it, and it's always the last version. You don't have to like send a Word document back and forth by email. And in addition to text and images, it also contains it can contain data, source code, and all the different materials that you might have produced in your research. And the last thing I want to mention is that, of course, we also worry about formatting. And a lot of people, you know, when they're writing a paper, then they have to send it to a journal. So we have a couple different ways to allow people to publish their work. They can, of course, publish it on Authoria, so they get a DOI, so they essentially publish their work and they can get cited for it. Or they can also submit it to a publisher. And just so you know, we are now integrated with some journals. The first journal we integrated with actually is eLife, which is a journal in the life sciences. They publish a lot of biology articles. So you can automatically submit in just one click your paper to eLife. So you don't have to go to the submission system, put in all your metadata, all your author information, all your figures separately. We do all of that for you. So you just click a button and you submit directly your work to a journal. And also, I should mention that you don't have to like format your references according to a specific style and things like that, because we do all of that. We do in the back end, so we do it for you. You don't have to like worry about formatting your paper according to a given style. So I know that that was a lot, but those are the main features that the platform offers.
I think there are really good features. I think the everyone who has writing and a scientific paper, I think that we all have to struggle with double check if the citation has its reference in the bibliography. And then you send to a journal and it's rejected. So you have to format again for the next one. So it's something that drives you totally crazy and make you lose tons and tons of time. So it's a really, really, really great way to smooth all this workflow and make it easy and saving a lot of time. Really, really interesting features. Well, you have told us about why did you create Authoria, but explain a little bit more how you make this problem you had with your workflow, and how did you convert in this Authoria thing? What was the process that made you say, damn, I have to do something with this?
Mm-hmm. So I think that a couple things happened. I think that I was doing a lot of, in my own research, I was doing a postdoc at Harvard, that's like 3 years ago. And in my own research, I was doing a lot of data analysis. So I was using R, IPython notebooks, and other tools to manage and process my data. And I was also creating sometimes, I was writing scripts to produce interactive visualizations. I was using D3.js, which is a library to create very nice interactive graphics. And what I was seeing is that I was spending a lot of time and I was really enjoying the process of working with data. But then the moment that I had to start writing a paper, all that beautiful visualizations that I created could not exist anymore, because a publisher will only publish a PDF. So a PDF, unfortunately, is just a photograph of a piece of paper. It doesn't really have much more. You cannot do interactive stuff with it. That's, I think, the spark, like the one thing that really pushed me to like do something about it. I said, how is it possible that as a scientist, I'm spending most of my time working on data, but then the only way that I get credit for my work is by publishing a PDF that has no data. Like the most important part of my research, which is working with data, is totally absent from what gets published and gives me recognition. So that's the beginning of it. I said, there must be a way to truly have papers that that contain data, you know, to rethink papers and have them like be data-driven, executable, elements or components, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's interesting. I think it mustn't have been easy, just to pass from this idea you had how it should be, just to done it for real. So, what were the most important challenges you had to face when you were trying to create Authoria?
So, my background is in physics, so I'm not a developer. I'm not a web developer. What I did was I talked to a friend of mine who's also not a web developer. He's a physicist like me. His name is Nate, and he's from California. So I met him a long time ago when I was working at CERN in Geneva. So I was doing high energy physics work. And he was a good friend. And I told him about the idea, and he was excited. He was excited about the idea. He maybe at the time he did not have all the tools and all the technical knowledge to build a platform from the ground up. but he was excited about it. So he's more technical than me. He's much better than me at developing. But he told me, like, hey, let's give it a try. Instead of trying to, spend too much time thinking about it, why don't we just go ahead and, like, we start building it. So he spent some time studying Ruby on Rails, which is a platform for, it's a programming language for building web apps. And I got into that as well. We started developing together. I was mostly doing part of the front end and he was doing the back end work. And then with the passing of the time, he became so much more capable than me. And, so it was natural for him to become the person that does most of the heavy lifting when it comes to development. And I was worrying a little bit more about the all the other sides of the project, things like talking to you so that, you know, we get more people interested, or talking to press, of course, running the business, doing marketing, PR. And so that's been the case since the very beginning. So for the last 3 years now, we've been working together. So we started off, just to summarize, we started off knowing very little about web development. But we're scientists, so I guess that we can figure things out. And then the team went from being just the two of us to hiring our first engineer. And then from then on, we have a team of 10 people. And the vast majority of them are engineers, actually. So 6 out of 10 are engineers. And then we have one product person and one marketing person. But roughly, we're a heavy engineering company.
I see. It's an interesting journey. But, well, you just said that you began as from zero. I mean, you almost have no knowledge, and you have created something quite big and complex. But I guess that the money must be important for this. How did you get the funding to do all this stuff? Because, I mean, you are a physicist, and the other co-author is also too. So you need some money to get some money for all this stuff. And I guess it's not cheap.
Yeah. So I tried to get funding from an academic or research-based environment. So I applied for two different grants. I think it was a NASA grant and an NSF grant. So I tried to get money from, the American government, pretty much. But my proposals didn't go through. They got rejected. And actually, I was very annoyed that the reviews that I got from NSF and NASA were very disappointing. Like, they lacked to see the potential and the vision of what we're trying to do. So I said, well, if I cannot make this work from within academia, then I can probably try and make academia better from outside of academia. So I looked around. I was really motivated, and I really wanted to do this, to make this happen. So it clearly was not easy to, like, leave academia, because my work and the fact that I was here in the States was linked to the fact that I had an academic job. I had a job at Harvard, and they were taking care of my visa, my healthcare, my salary, everything. So I started exploring around to see whether there were other routes of starting a company without, having it as an academic project. And I came to New York from Boston, and I looked around for investors. So I also had to learn a new thing besides development. I also had to learn about how to raise money from angel investors, from venture capital firms. And the great thing is that I actually could convince some investors that this is a very solid, it's not only something that is good for science and academia, but he also has a solid business backing. So there's an important business that can be built around this, and that's actually a great thing. A lot of people, you know, from the academic environment, think that it's not a good idea to like blend, you know, business with academia and science. But I am actually opposed to that idea, and I'll tell you why. Just two things. First of all, I think that it's a great thing that private investors are so interested in making science and academia better. You know, of course they do it because there's like a business opportunity, but the fact that they believe in a mission to like make science more modern, that's a great thing. And the second part that I think is good is that I think that if a business is sustainable, so if it actually can run by itself, that's a great thing, and it's the best way to ensure long-term stability. Of course, we don't want to make a product that people use, and then, you know, a year from now, we're not around anymore. That's bad because, you know, of course, there's no more product in a year, and people that were actually using it and liking it, then they don't have it anymore. And unfortunately, a lot of projects that are built on top of grant money, whether it's like, you know, the National Science Foundation or the European Union, a lot of times they just, you know, emerge, you spend a lot of time and resources, and then they die away. But having a business that runs on its own actually is the best way to ensure long-term stability. So yeah, that's pretty much what I ended up doing. I found some venture capital firms, and we ended up raising money, and that's how we could jumpstart a company to where it is today.
I think it's a great thing you have said that you pass over these rejections and then you just keep trying and trying, and finally you got it. And
yeah,
because you were very confident about that, about the project, and you know that it was very good for research in general, for science, just to improve the way the things are done. Just I think it's something that we all must have in mind, that we are going to suffer rejections. Especially in science, when you are trying to publish, you are always being rejected in many journals from time to time. So I think it's something that is a part of our job. I mean, it's also a part of our job, just keep trying and trying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Authoria is, as we have said, is a collaborative platform from specialized in publishing research. Mm-hmm. But what about your own strategy to write a good paper? What can you tell us about? Because I guess you have, you and your team have studied all the workflow to publish. So what can you say about how you do the things?
Yeah. So I mean, we observe a lot of users writing research, and I mean, I don't know if I can give like a comprehensive, like, you know, results on our analysis of, like, you know, watching users write research papers. What I can say is, like, just, you know, a few tips. First of all, there are tools today to write truly together at the same time. And, you know, I think that we built our practices, our writing practices, around the fact that a lot of times, you know, we didn't have tools to write together. So writing a research paper, you know, which is something that really you can do in a couple of weeks, it would end up taking a couple of months or even more sometimes. And a lot of times this happens because, like, you know, you work on the paper, nobody else can touch it, and then you send it to your co-author, and you're like, okay, now it's you, work on it for a week, because then I have to send it to the third person. And then by the time, you know, if there's a little bit of delay, the third person by that time is already on vacation, so the whole thing ends up taking, like, much longer. So I encourage people to actually write at the same time, you know, like, if there's a powerful version control system, then you can truly write at the same time and keep track of, like, who's working on what and what things are being done. So that's the first tip I can give. The second one is, of course, about data support. I mean, the entire idea why we built a platform like Authoria was to, like, allow people to share their data. So I think that, you know, this is an important tip. If if as a biologist, as a scientist, if you share your data, sometimes there's a sense of like, oh, if I share too much, somebody else is gonna, you know, I'm gonna get scooped, you know, somebody else is gonna do the research that I'm gonna do. However, there's an important component. If you share your data, you also increase your visibility. Like, you have more chances to be discovered and for your work to be cited. So a paper that contains data is more than a paper that has no data, because like, he has more information that a lot of other people will find useful. And I guess that a third component about writing that I probably should like recommend is that a lot of people, a lot of scientists don't know that they can already make the dream of open access a reality today. Now, there's a lot of talk about open access, which means, you know, we need to make sure that all the scholarly knowledge that we produce as academics, as scholars, need to be openly available to everybody for free. And of course, there's an ongoing battle going on, or maybe a war, you might say, with journal publishers to try and find a solution, you know, that works, that allows publishers to still exist, and at the same time for scholars to, you know, to get published and get their work out in the open. But there's a way to actually, you know, even in the current system, for you to publish your work, and you can publish in like any journal, whether it's open or closed, and there's a way for you to make your work openly available, and it's by depositing a preprint. And a preprint is literally just the version of your paper before it's been accepted. So the very last version of your paper can always be shared. And the great thing about Authoria is that if your paper was written on Authoria, then you already have the last version of your paper, and it's already there. All you have to do is make it public, and then all of a sudden you have an open public version of your article. Even if it gets then published in a closed journal, you might send it to Springer, Elsevier, it gets published, it's in a closed journal. However, you have an open public version of your article available to everybody for free on the web. And most importantly, it's fully legal. You have the right to do that. And a lot of scientists don't know that. So it's important to like let people know that. I think it should be the most important thing that you do as part of your writing, to make sure that like you create an open version of your work.
I think that's very important. I think it's something we have to change in the academia, that it's sometimes really hard to get all these articles available. So many young researchers, that they don't have money enough, they just have to try to do research with no access to the papers they need. So I think it's important to know that you can use your preprints just to get keep them available. So I think it's very interesting. And also I think it's important what you have said about this version history, no? That you can know what's the last version, because I think we all have suffered also this final version 1, final version 1B, final version, the final one, and one and again and again, and it's always a crazy thing, yes.
Yeah.
To get these versions in order, especially if you are just collaborating with many people that you send to one of the co-authors, and then he sent back another paper that is different to the one who has sent the other co-authors. So I think these collaborative tools are very, I mean, it's not just they are very efficient and very good, I think they are essential for us, for researchers. Yes. And well, we have been talking about publishing in the academia, but what do you think about the high pressures that there are always in the academia for publishing? I mean, you have to publish, and do you think that's too much, or do you think it's the way it must be? And do you think that it can be affecting the quality of the papers? What's better, a big amount of paper or little papers but with high quality?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. There's like many different trends going on. Clearly, like the number of papers that are the published papers per year has increased over time. And a lot of people like are now complaining about like too many papers being published, that, you know, we need to like realign the incentive system so that maybe we need to publish a little less, but, you know, focus on quality rather than quantity. I mean, I am, you know, I'm of course, like, since I run a project that is about writing papers, of course, like, I'm in favor of, like, more papers. At the same time, I also think that, like, going forward in the future, I think that the incentive system is going to change a little bit and is maybe going to be not so much built as it is today around citations alone, but it's going to be also around reuse. So what I mean by that is that if research papers will have more and more data, and they will become more than just a PDF with, like, you know, with information and some results, they will be like, think of research papers in the future as a recipe to make with all the ingredients all the ingredients to make something to get your results done. So in other words, I think that there's going to be much more reproducible research being published in the future. And if papers become this executable, reproducible objects, then in addition to studying how many times a paper is cited by someone else, you can actually see how many times a paper was reused. So how many times, you know, if you have like a great paper that tells you, you know, how to get from point A to point B, how to get to these results, then even if you don't get the results that you wanted, but it's still, you're sharing with someone a workflow, that entire workflow, which could include data and code, could be useful to someone else, maybe even in a different field entirely. And that's a great example of reuse, which is fundamentally a new thing. It's like, it's more than a citation, because someone is telling, you know, not only this is important work, but I'm using that work to actually get somewhere else. So it's the idea of like really building on top of each other's work to like increase and bring science to the next level. So I think that that's the future trend that I'm seeing. And as I said, I hope that going forward, the system will fix itself in a way. You know, I don't know if it's going to be about quality or quantity, but somehow we'll get to a point where the notion of paper will change a little bit, and we'll have to track more metrics, not just, you know, how many papers you publish in X top journals that are cited X Y number of times. Yeah.
Yes, I think in the last years it's getting a little bit crazy about citations. And I think it's a little bit more complex. And I think it's also with these pressures that there are lately, there are not so many replicates of research, so we are not really validating that this is supposed to be in science. So I think it should be like more in the line you are talking about, that you can publish not only your paper or your article, but also the data and all the process, so all the people can collaborate. I mean, it's not that they are going to steal you, but they are going to co-create with you. You are a part of it also. So I think it's a very nice point of view, and I think science should be at least reinvent in that way a little bit. So we have been talking about this sharing data and this fear that sometimes maybe one is going to steal my data or so. Do you think there's too much secrecy in these days to avoid this to be a scoop, or do you think it's the mind is changing and people is beginning to share their data?
Yeah, so I mean, I get that question a lot, right? I mean, we at Authoria, we're big proponents of open access and also open science. Open science is the idea that in addition to sharing, you know, your final paper, which could be a PDF, you should also share all the components, every single object that was part of your research process. Of course, we encourage people to write in the open, in public. And a lot of, you know, a question that I get all the time is, Well, if I, you know, if I share all my my article before it is published, I'm gonna get scooped. Somebody's gonna use my research and publish before me somewhere else. And the reality is that I think that the opposite is true. So if you actually write everything in the open and you share your data and you use a platform like Authoria that actually is on the web and is like fully version controlled, so that you even have a timestamp proving that you wrote what you wrote and that you contributed data at a certain point in time, well, that's the actual proof that you were the first one doing something. Because like you have, you know, there's a Git repository in the back end that is tracking all the versions, and so you know exactly what the provenance of a research result is, fully documented. So I think that that's the best way to actually prove that you are the owner of an idea. However, if you do things in a closed private environment, then if you get scooped, if someone gets your data, well, then they can actually like, they can go ahead and like publish it somewhere else. And then you have no control. You have no way to actually prove that you were the first one doing something. So I think that there's clearly a cultural change that needs to happen. And I think that it's with, you know, we see that trend with younger and younger people that are now, you know, the young people that are becoming PhDs or postdocs that come from a mindset that is all about sharing. You know, they use social media and they use, you know, new platforms that are built around the idea of sharing. So I think that science will follow that sort of trend that, you know, sharing doesn't necessarily mean that you're giving your research away and you're losing ownership on your ideas. So that's, I think that that's the way forward, and that's the way to like avoid discussions around, you know, secrecy and like, oh, my data was stolen, you know, what do I do? I mean, I think that's my hope. Of course, there's some data that cannot be shared because like it's actually like for ethical purposes, for example, or for privacy issues, sensitive information of all kinds. And in, of course, Authoria is not just about writing in the open. You can, of course, make your articles private at any point in time. And we're very much concerned. We're paranoid about security and privacy. So we make sure that like if you make your article private, it's fully private. It's not indexed by any search engine. It's not available to anyone, but just to you. So
one question about this. Can you write your paper in private? And then, for example, with this this final preprint, make it public?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what a lot of people do. They start their paper in private, and then when they submit it to a journal, they open up the paper and they put in the, you know, you can also add publication information. So you can say it was submitted to, you know, eLife, and then once it gets accepted, you know, you change the metadata so that you can, you know, you can do that fully transparently. Yeah.
Really nice. So Authoria also has, it's a platform that you can use for free with some limitation, but totally for free with all the features. But in what circumstance do you think it could be interesting for anyone, like, for example, the people who read this blog, to get a premium plan for Authoria? What does it offer?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you said, the platform is free to use. Anybody can sign up and create unlimited articles on the platform. The, you know, we charge for premium features, so there's some extra features that we charge for. And the features are, first one, the most important is private hosting of your articles. So if you sign up with a free account, you get only one private document. If you need more private documents, then, you know, that's what we charge for. So you have to create you make a subscription and you get unlimited private articles. So the first one is private hosting. And then there's a couple of other ones. The one is the ability to issue, to create a DOI for your papers. Now, I don't know if people are familiar with the idea of a DOI. It's a digital object identifier. So it's the stamp that you put on a paper, on a document, that it's published. So it allows other people then to cite your paper, because a DOI is the it's the similar thing as books have ISBN, which is a number that identifies with a persistent identifier that book. And the same thing happens for research papers. So you can now issue DOIs for papers on Authoria. So for example, if you have a student paper that is like 3-4 pages long and you think it's valid work and needs to be published, you can do so, and you can do so on Authoria. And if you have a premium account, you can get you can do so. You can publish directly your work on Authoria. And the third one is you get more storage space. So if you have a large paper with a lot of collaborators and a lot of data that you want to add, you get up to like 1 gigabyte in storage if you get a premium account. So that's pretty much that's the plan. We also collaborate with universities and research institutions. So we can put an entire group or lab or a department on a group organizational account.
I think that's pretty interesting, because maybe some people cannot afford just to pay for a premium plan, but maybe the group or the university can just get this lab license or something like this. I don't know how you call it. And it's pretty interesting that you collaborate with the university, not just with researchers.
Yeah.
So we have been talking about the features that you have now in Authoria, but what about the roadmap for it? Are you thinking about to implement some new characteristics in the near future? If you can talk about them.
Yeah, we're very open. We actually publish an open roadmap where we talk about, what's coming next. To be honest, like, we spent the entire year, last year, 2016, working obsessively on the product to make sure that we build something that users want. And for the next few months, we'll still be focused very much on the core product, which is the editor. So we need to make sure that we make it really easy for people to import their work, to write from scratch, and to have like an amazing collaborative experience while they're writing, and then being able to like publish their work to whether it is on a journal or on our platform. So for the next few months, still the focus is going to be on usability and really like trying to make the product as snappy, usable, smooth as possible. At the same time, we do have, of course, like a lot of plans for the future. I'll probably just say a couple of different things. The first one is that right now we have an explore page where you can, right now it's just a list of articles that were either published in some journal, but they were written on Authoria, so it becomes a portal for articles that were published, say, in Science, Cell, eLife, and then there's an open version on Authoria. So that's really important. And then you can also visualize articles that are in progress, so that are being written in the open, and they're a work in progress. The idea is to make that explore page much more powerful, so that we're gonna add a search function, for example, so that you can search for articles being written in epidemiology, for example. So we're going to add a search functionality that will bring readers to the platform so that they can actually like see what's new or what's been published in a given topic. So we'd like to make that a place where you get to see what's new in science, what people are writing. And I think that going forward, the idea is to really try and encourage collaboration even more. So the idea is that if you see that there's a new work, a new project or paper being written around a certain topic, you can request access to the project and start working with people that you don't know. So the idea is to really like push people to collaborate more rather than compete. Our entire idea is to like make collaboration you know, the most important part feature of science. So going to the future, like that explore page that I'm talking about will become our homepage, like the most important page where you can see new stuff that has been worked on, and you can read, explore, find new stuff, and work on new projects. So that's I think like the most exciting thing that we can offer to users in the future.
I think you have a very nice philosophy with Authoria. I think always that science has been always more a matter of collaboration than competition, like it seems to be lately. So I think it's we need to shift again to this cooperation. So I think that you are going to offer a very, very nice tool for this. Well, to end this interview, as I usually do, I just want to ask you for advice for the readers of the blog. Any kind of advice you can say to them? You are an entrepreneur, you are a scientist, you have publishing, and you have made a really nice tool for publishing. So give an advice for our reader, please.
Yeah, so I'll just probably like have two pieces of advice. The first one is that, I mean, I'm a former scientist. I'm now an entrepreneur. And, you know, becoming an entrepreneur was not easy. I guess that for a lot of scientists, they see that as a big barrier. But, you know, my basic advice is, you know, if any of the readers of the blog are interested in starting a company and moving from academia to entrepreneurship, it's not an easy path, but it's definitely a path that, you know, anybody who's motivated by a great idea can take. So the most important part is the idea. If I would say, don't become an entrepreneur just because you want to become an entrepreneur, but become an entrepreneur because you see a problem that is worth fixing, and then try and fix it. I mean, running a business actually comes with a lot of like, you know, there's so much that you get, so much energy that you get out of building a company from, you know, from scratch. The second piece of advice is, of course, about publishing. I already, of course, I encourage readers to try out the platform and like send us feedback. Definitely our plan is to build something that, you know, that the readers of the blog want. So we're absolutely open to criticism and feedback and ideas for new features or something else that we can do. But, you know, probably the most important piece of advice that I gave before is that when using a tool like Authoria, like the most important like advice that I can give is to always publish and make open a version of your work. And even though, like, you know, a lot of people, as I said before, think that publishing blocks you from opening up a version of your work, that's not true. You have, as an author, as a scientist, you have the rights to all the work that you did until a paper was accepted for publication. So we can make the world much more open and make open access a reality already today if we share the versions of our work. And of course, if those versions also include data and interactive visualizations, then we can truly like start making science a little more modern and interactive. So that's my basic advice for the readers of the blog.
Very interesting advice. Well, Alberto, thanks very much. Thanks very much for your time, for the perfect interview, and for give us this really, really good tool for science and for publishing. Really nice to meet you, and we'll keep in contact.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.